Welcome to your five for the day. It's an old trick when it's time to tuck the children into bed. The covers appear to be suitably filled, but the next thing you know is an ankle being grabbed by a small hand from under the bed, or a chuckle being heard from the wardrobe. King Saul's soldiers were deceived by just such a manoeuvre, except that the person they expected to be in the bed was supposedly ill, not asleep. In fact, the man the soldiers were looking for was not in the bed, not under the bed, nor in the wardrobe. He had escaped out of the window long before. Saul was out to get David. Though Saul had won his battles, David, with God on his side, had proved to be more successful, and the people's love for David and their songs about him made the king jealous. Whilst David was in hiding, Jonathan, Saul's son, and David's close friend, spoke well of him to the king, hoping to change his perspective. He reminded his father of the great victory David had won against the giant Goliath, saving the nation from the Philistines. He pointed out that David had never done anything to harm the king, but only ever showed him kindness. David's skilled harp playing had soothed Saul's disturbed mind on many an occasion. Jonathan pointed out the sinfulness of trying to do away with such a good man. And so Saul vowed to do no harm to David, and he returned to the palace. All seemed to be well, until again the enemies of Israel presented their army. Again, David led Israel to victory, and the people sang his praises. Again, Saul's jealousy was aroused, and he hurled a spear at David, but he escaped back to his own home. That evening, Saul continued to send spies to David's house, looking for another opportunity to kill him. Realizing his danger, David's wife could see that the only option was for him to escape through the window. The next day, Saul insisted on David being brought to him, despite his wife's protests that he was sick. The king demanded that David be brought to him in the bed if necessary. Imagine his rage to discover that Michal, David's wife, had stuffed the bed with a carved image. In place of his head, she had laid a goat's hair cushion. This had tricked the spies into thinking that David was still present, buying him valuable time to escape. So it was that David, Israel's saviour, and the man God had chosen to replace Saul as king, was driven away, an idol in his place, and deceit all round. Could it be that we are treating the Lord Jesus in the same way Saul behaved towards David? He can have his place, so long as it's not first place. Have we not heard of the great salvation which no one but the Lord Jesus could win when he died on the cross to save us? Never has he done anything to harm us, but gave his life for our good. God didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but to save. To reject him from our life is to sin further against him. Perhaps we've seen the good he's done for others, and there are times that our hearts have softened towards him, only to be followed by another rejection. Why not give this man the place he deserves? With true humility of heart, no false promises, accept him for who he is, Lord. When Christ is rejected again and the Saviour is no longer near, who can tell what sinful idols might take up residence in our lives? But when he does have first place, his presence shows itself in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, things which bring pleasure and glory to God. Thank you for listening.